Amen. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I pray that you had a good week. We had a busy week, that's for sure. We had a few burials and a funeral this week. And one of the things that I've asked people to remember as they have been going through these times is to remember those families that did not get to have closure for quite a while. How difficult that is. And so we just continue to lift up all these families that are going through this struggle. Our sermon text for the seventh Sunday of Easter is going to be taken from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, we're going to be reading from page 998 of the Pew Bibles, because we're going from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14, continuing in Jesus' name. John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be enough for us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whosoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do that, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this day and every day henceforth. Amen. This is a very awesome part of Scripture that has so much hope in it. It really does. You know, because really what takes place here is Jesus is preparing his disciples for the fact that he's going to leave. He's going to be gone. And oftentimes that is hard for us. When we're having a good time, when we're really feeling encouraged, when we're with people that really make us feel like something, we definitely want to continue to be with them. And they had been with Christ Jesus for 3 years. They have seen him do some amazing things. They have seen him heal. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him defy all of man's thoughts. They've seen him give speech to those that cannot talk. They've seen him give sight to the blind. They've seen him bring a guy that was dead to life. Those are some pretty amazing works. But the fact of it is now he is preparing them for what's going to take place. And it is very important for us to understand the words of Christ, even when he shares with us in the gospel. It is extremely important that I go through this. Because if I don't go to the Father, I can't give you the Holy Spirit. And it's not that the Holy Spirit wouldn't have any ability to do anything. It actually was more or less on the side of we couldn't partake of it because we were fallen. If we could put it in a very simple statement, we were jars that were so dirty they couldn't hold it. So he had to go clean up our jars so that we could become partakers. And so now He's telling them that he's going to do this. And they're kind of a little confused, like, where is he going to be going and what's going on? But before he's leaving them, the one thing he wants them to understand, and I think this is so important, the most important thing for you to understand is to love one another. When I'm gone, you need to love one another. And this is actually beyond the point of love your neighbor as yourself. This is love one another. How? He says it very plainly in verse 34 of chapter 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. Sacrificially. That we would be willing to serve, that we would be willing to lay our lives on the line for another. And this is what Memorial Day so much brings out. That these individuals in the middle of whatever may be going on in our world and our nations were willing to step forward to defend a nation. How else could you do it but by faith? But he says, you need to do this. And it's interesting because it's Peter that stands up and says, I don't even know where you're going. We don't know where you're going. You keep talking about you're going to take this Gekkity, you're going to take this trip. But where are you going? And if we don't know where you're going, how can we follow you? We know what that's like when we're trying to, you know, go follow someone. Say we got to go to Camp Lutty, and then, you know, I get, you know, probably with someone like, I won't use names because people don't like it, but someone that drives really fast. So, well, you're trying to follow me. I have a tendency to drive fast. And you're like, well, Jesse, what am I going to do? Well, it's just follow me. Next thing you know, the speed limit says it's 55, but Jesse's always in a dreamland, so he's doing 65, 70, and next thing you know, he's around two corners, and you're like, well, how am I going to get there? So we know what it's like that when we don't know where something is and we get nervous. So Peter's like, you know, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know the way? And he says very, very straightforward. I don't know what's going on in your life, Jesus, but I will lay my life on the line for you. I will do whatever it takes. Because Jesus is giving him the understanding of how tough this is going to be. He says, I understand at this physical moment, Peter, whatever's going on, where I'm going, you can't exactly follow me. But I'm going to give you more details about that quickly. Peter's like, this is going to be so harsh on you. No, no, I'll follow you and I'll lay down my life for you. And he says, you will? Actually, before daybreak, you're going to deny me three times. And that is a disheartening statement to leave somebody at. But he doesn't leave them there. See, we have invented these chapter breaks. We have invented all of this. We have to take scripture in full context. He had just encouraged them to continue loving one another. Don't separate. Don't break away from each other. Continue to hold each other up. It's going to get tough. There's no doubt about it. And you're going to come where I am. We don't even know where you're going. That's okay. It's going to be tough. But I will come. Well, no, no, if it's going to be tough, we want to be there. Peter says, we're going to defend you. He says, actually, you can't. You're going to deny me three times. A complete denial. Now you'd be like all bummed out if we left there. Now chapter 14 starts a whole new story. It doesn't. Because that's the first thing that Jesus wants Peter to understand. He says, but don't let this trouble your heart. Don't fixate upon this, Peter. We have a tendency to do that. We hear the news out there. We hear things in the world that's going on. Or we hear things in our community, and we start to fixate on that negativeness. Don't put your hope there, Peter. Don't let your heart be troubled. He says, believe in God. He's affirming faith here. He says, believe in God. He says, because that is also a belief in me. What I'm sharing with you is the truth. And that's sometimes something I think we need to be rattled into in our life, is we got to stop listening to everything else, and we need to hear God. We need to hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us, to encourage us, to bring us this hope. He says, you know, Peter, in my Father's house, King James says mansions, and we like that because we're contractors and builders as by a trade in the Finnish heritage, so we all want our own little castle. But more or less what this speaks about, in God's castle are many rooms. And there's a place for you. Do you hear that? Peter, don't focus on the fact that I'm going to be betrayed. Peter, don't focus on the fact that they're going to misuse me. Peter, don't focus on the fact that I told you you're going to deny me. That's what human beings do. But believe God. Trust God above and beyond all these circumstances, Peter. He says, because you know what? I am going to do this. He says, there's so much room in my Father's house. Sometimes we like to make it so meager. If we just do the right thing, if we just do everything just perfectly and have all our ducks in a row, we might be able to sneak in that door. But he says, in my Father's house, he said, there's a lot of room. I want to encourage you today with that. In God's house, there's a lot of room. He desires for each and every one of us to be there. He wants his house full. We see that with the wedding parables and things. He wants the party to be full. He wants the house full. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. He says, and to tell you the truth, he says, if it were not so, he says, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? He says, I wouldn't lead you down that road. I wouldn't give you a false hope. A lot of things give us false hope in this world, but it is not Jesus Christ. He says, if it wasn't so, would I have gone through this process of telling you I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I'm going to actually go and prepare a place for you, he says, don't you understand? I will come and get you and take you where I am. This to me is such a blessing. Because see, the one speaking these words, Jesus, understands the full ramifications, the full weight of preparing a place. He knows it means his crucifixion. But then he sees beyond that also to the resurrection, where he can come and receive. He says, my Father has so much room. In fact, I'm going to prepare more room. And I think this is awesome because now this will even include the Gentiles, if you would say it in that way. Because it's going to be inclusive. There was always room, but now he's going to make more room. And when he does this great work, he's not going to forget. He's not going to go through all the process of the work and then not share it with you. That's his whole objective. Sometimes we feel like God is barely going to let anybody into heaven. But the fact of it is, Peter, he's telling Peter very plainly, Peter, of yourself, you're not standing up and making a statement. Peter, you're going to deny me. But don't focus on those externals. Because it's not about what you can do, Peter. It is about what I am doing. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says, and when I go to prepare this place, I'm going to come back and get you. Why? Because he desires for us to be with him. That's what we see in even the priestly prayer, as we call it, in the Gospel of John. He is praying to God the Father in the behalf of the apostles, sure. But also he says, and I'm not praying for these just alone. I'm praying for each and every one of them that will hear their words and believe. So he prays for us. Do you know that? Your God prays in your behalf that you can come and be with him, that your struggle would be over. Why aren't we sharing this with people? We don't have a God that is seeking to be appeased by our great works and by what pound of flesh we can add. He, in fact, is the one to give his life, to lay it on the line for each and every one of us, and all he desires is that we would know it, that we would believe his gift. We do it with carnal things all the time. We do. It's my birthday. You guys all come over and you're excited to celebrate with me and you give me a card and, you know, and Mrs. Rantala writes me a card in there. Dear Jesse, you've been such a good guy. Thank you so much for all you do, right? And then she puts a check in there. $25, Jesse Aho. She hands that card to me. I open it up. I have full faith that that check, that piece of paper with that number written on it, is going to be cashed. Jesus is sharing with us that he's done much more. That he's paid all of our earthly debt. That he's given us everything. And he has that invitation for each and every one of us to receive of it. He says, Peter, this is good stuff that's going on. I'm going and I'm going to fix up a place for you. It's going to be a beautiful spot for you. He says, and if I go to do all this work, I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to come back and get you. And then Thomas turns around and says, dude, we don't even know where you're going. You still have lost us. Because that's how we are as human beings. We want to figure out the path. We want to figure out the system. We got to figure out the 7 steps to get to this certain point. That's how we deal with so many things in our life. Don't even tell me I'm wrong. We do it with our retirements. We do it with our church growth. We do it with everything. Well, we do these 3 steps and we're going to have 10% increase. Thomas is turning around and saying, we don't even know where you're going. So if you don't explain to us all these things, how are we going to know how to get there? It's not about the 7 steps. It's not about the 3 steps. It's about knowing him. That's what it's about. It's about knowing him. Jesus tells him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Pilate asks that question. What is truth? It is Jesus. That is the only truth. He doesn't lie. He's not selfish. He's not looking out for his own terms. He is the truth because he gives everything in our behalf for his Father's sake. In other words, because God wants. He does the Father's will. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And this is such an amazing statement. You can't find God any other way. There aren't 15 paths. Not every path leads to God. It is in and through Jesus Christ and him alone, which is so amazing that we reject as human beings oftentimes. Because it requires nothing of us. Thomas wants to know the way because he wants to take those 7 steps, and I shouldn't blame it on Thomas. I'm just saying as a statement. He wants to figure out what route to take, how to do this, how to do that. How many times have we been blown away with the fact of God loves us right where we're at? God desires for us to have relationship with him right where we're at. Will we turn? Absolutely. Knowing Jesus, we will turn. Understanding his love is what calls us in reality to turn. If I don't know the good, why would I turn from the bad? Why? There's a lot of people, in fact, I've had conversations with some others, not in all recent years, but before, when I was in more stringent areas, I guess I'd say, they would tell you straight out, repentance is the door. I don't believe that. Jesus is the door. He even makes that statement. We are able to repent because of him. We are able to turn because of him. And this is what he's trying to say. And Thomas is like, man, we don't even know what steps to take. He says, I am the step, Thomas. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one in reality can come to the Father except through me. And that's not a burden. That's a rejoicing. Because it's not about what I can do. It is about what he has done. To live in that security, to receive of that grace, to have that comfort of God the Father through Jesus Christ making me whole. He says, if you have known me, Thomas, if you know me, he says, then you know the Father. He says, from now on, you do know him, because now I've told you. I've told you very openly. He and I are one. And that's an amazing thing, because we battle that, because we try to figure out once again with the seven steps, three steps, how do we get to this Trinity thing? And then our standard answer, obviously, is by faith, which is hard for us because sometimes we want to be rational. And I can't explain it to you in a rational way, except for I can say this. According to Scripture, I've seen more than one case where people were worshipped in the Scripture and they denied it. Angels, elders, they denied it. Even that elder in heaven tells John, get up, don't worship me. But we see all kinds of people come and worship Jesus in the Scripture, and he receives it because he is worthy. He is God. And the interesting thing is Jesus even gives the answer himself. He says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. If Jesus Christ was not God and he received worship saying that he represented God, he would be dividing that house. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am a jealous God. But it is a matter of faith. And if you read your Scripture and if you read your Scripture with that prayer in heart, you will see Trinity all over the Scripture. But the fact of it is, he says, you have known him and you have seen him. And Philip says, well, give us one more step. Give me one more step, one more morsel. One more proof. Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. And I love this answer. You don't know me? You don't know me? Have I been this long with you, Philip, and you don't know me? People on the streets are talking. Nobody's ever done anything like this. Who has ever opened the eyes of a man that was born blind? Nobody. Who's ever in reality come and defied all the rabbinical laws that were not necessary? Really, hardly anybody. And to live to talk about it. Who has healed the withered? Who has made the lame walk? Who has given deaf the hearing? Who has given the dumb the speech? Who has fed the 5,000? The 4,000, plus women and children. Have I been this long with you, Philip? You've been hanging around with me. You've seen all these things. He says, and you don't know me? He says, the words that I'm speaking to you, he says, it's not because of my fleshly authority that I speak this. I speak to you in the godly authority, is more what he would be saying here. He says, I don't speak on my own. He says, but the Father that dwells in me, he is the one that does this work. He says, Philip, it's important that you understand this, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. He says, but Philip, if you can't believe because of your own carnal flesh, don't deny the works. Don't deny what you have seen. No one else has ever been able to do this. And in fact, in the man that was born blind, even when the Pharisees come back and start arguing with him in chapter 9, saying, you know what? You couldn't have been blind. They even accuse the parents of that. You say he was blind. They try to defy the miracle. But he even makes that statement, that man that was born blind. Well, I find this quite amazing. Never have we ever heard of anything happening like this in the whole earth, that a man that was born blind is able to see. And he starts to come to the conclusion that Jesus is who he says he is. And how do they handle it? They ridicule the man. You were born in your sin, and now you're going to preach to us? Get out of here. When we hear what we don't want to hear, he says, but believe for the miracle's sake. He says, for what I do. He says, truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever believes in me, he says, he's going to do these works. He says, and he's going to do greater works. And this, to me, is an amazing thing. How can he do greater works? Jesus raised the dead. What's greater than that? He gave sight to the blind. What is greater than that? He fed the thousands. He doesn't mean greater in magnitude. In other words, what we can do. I don't know if it's what would be greater than raising someone from the dead. Killing them, doing it again. I don't know. He means in scope. Think about it. He submitted to the will of God the Father. He submitted in reality to becoming as human. And he was limited even by this flesh to that degree where he could only reach so many people. But think about what's going on now. That now by the power of the Holy Spirit coming into the believers, by the power of the Holy Spirit entering into the Christian church on earth, look at the scope of work that has been done. Look at the hope that has been poured out into this world. That's more what he's speaking about here. It's not that we're going to do greater things than Jesus. In Jesus, we will go out and do great things. He says, man, he says, you're going to do greater works than these. He says, because why? Because I am going to the Father in reality to prepare you. And this is what I think is awesome. We forget this. And whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, you will do it. It's not what he said. We think that sometimes. Well, now I just got to go out there in the name of Jesus and I can conquer anything. Whatever you ask in my Father's name, I will do it, Jesus says. It is him in you, not you in him. He is the function. He is the operation. He is the success. And I'll tell you what, when we start claiming claim to it that, you know, Joe Schmo has gotten up and done all this great work for God, Joe Schmo hasn't done anything for God. It's like my article that I wrote a while ago. That one man thought that because he won so many souls over for the Lord, and it's a joke, but that he now in reality would get the biggest crown in heaven. But the fact of it is, it was that little old lady that continued to pray for him to do his job that gave him the ability to do that. It's not us performing. It is Christ in us. Are we relying on that? He says, whatever you ask in my name, he says, that I will do. He says, and my Father will be glorified in the Son. God is glorified in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He says, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. And I would put this clause on there. For the ministry, for the church, for the gospel. Whatever we have need of, to do the job that we are called to do, to share this message with the world around us, he will provide. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid and lock our doors. We don't have to be afraid. It doesn't mean that people aren't going to try shutting you down or telling you to do this or do that, but we still preach the gospel no matter what, because we are in Christ Jesus, and it is he that performs this work. Remember those that served us in this nation. Remember all those that gave their lives. Because it is a good example of what Christ has done. Faced fear and overcame that fear through love. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the love that we share with one another. We thank you for this body that comes together to encourage, to strengthen. We thank you for those that are watching over the internet throughout this whole nation, throughout this world. We ask that you'd bless them, protect them also. Father, we ask that you also would allow these times not just to change us, but to teach us. And we ask, Father, that you would continually preserve us. Allow us to bring you honor and glory. Allow us to have a good weekend with our family. Allow us to remember those that have served. And always bring honor to that position. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number 140 will be our last closing hymn. And he is coming again. Number 140.